On the cover, Eden and Drew are shown from the shoulders up, back to back, bathed in purple light, with pensive expressions as they stare out of the frame. Behind Eden, the rooftops of New Olympus are illuminated by a pink full moon, and three Dark Fox holograms run towards her. Behind Drew, Farsec headquarters glow blue and loom above a street full of protesters waving signs, while the rest of the young Vindicators attempt to calm them down. Wonderworld Comics proudly presents The Midnighters, Volume 8, Fox Hunt, Issue 4, In the Hen House.
Prepare yourself, dear reader, for another gripping tale of adventure, drama, and self-discovery. This is Wonder World Comics.
We are going to open this comic unconventionally for a Midnighters comic with Drew. So what I want to know is, Drew, where are you just before you and the Young Vindicators enact your plan to capture Eden for Farsec?
We would probably be waiting to deploy, and Drew has got his gear on and double checked and everything, and is just like sitting, staring at the Farsec badge in his hands while he's waiting for everyone else to be ready to head out.
What's he thinking about while he's staring at his Farsec badge and the rest of his team is sort of not paying a whole lot of attention to him?
He is... he's wondering about a lot of stuff right now, but mostly just feeling really, really conflicted and torn about being strong-armed into betraying, like, his best friend, and then, or between the Young Vindicators, who are like his, you know, found family.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're sitting, kind of like staring at your Farsec badge, which Young Vindicator do you think is most likely to come over to you and check on you?
Yeah, could be Miss Justice, Cassie King.
Yeah, awesome. So as you're staring at your Farsec badge, you sort of see Miss Justice's boots come up and sort of stand in front of you. And as you look up at her, you see sort of behind her, Akina and Swift are kind of like having a like semi-serious discussion, it looks like. They're sort of like doing their normal coupley thing of like comforting each other with, you know, like a hand on the shoulder or like a kiss on the cheek and that sort of stuff. But Cassie sort of crosses her arms and... wait, would you think of her as Cassie or as Miss Justice? Do you know her civilian name?
Yeah, I think we all kind of know each other's civilian identities. Like, at least within like the superhero community, Swift and Akina are like, you know, they grew up around all the other supers and stuff. And yeah, I think everyone's like pretty familiar with each other.
Yeah, so I think like even though she's dressed to, you know, go on a mission, so she's dressed as Miss Justice, I think she's looking very Cassie right now. She kind of folds her arms and like looks down at you and kind of just waits.
It's time to head out yet?
She like shrugs and looks over her shoulder at Akina and Swift and goes like, yeah, they're comforting each other, I guess. Figured maybe you might need some too.
Are we really going through with this?
Orders are orders.
All right, let's just get this over with.
She offers you a hand to help you stand up.
Yeah, I grab it and let myself be pulled to my feet.
And then she sort of like points to the Farsic badge and is like, that fall off or something.
Yeah, you know, just thought it would be a little higher quality. And he kind of tucks it into his belt.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us thought a lot of things would be higher quality. And she, like, elbows you a little bit.
Nice. Thanks, Cassie.
Yeah. Come on, let's go do it. It'll feel better after you do it. She's probably trying to shift your labels, I reckon.
Ooh, how is she trying to shift them?
That is the question. I think she's trying to shift your danger down because she's trying to make sure this mission is not in danger from your doubts. And probably your superior up. She's trying to get you to step up.
Ooh. Danger down and superior up. Yeah, I guess Drew would accept that. He already kind of did, I guess. Yeah, Drew's just feeling really kind of directionless right now and is just kind of like nods and is like, yeah, you know, as long as we're together, you know, that's the important thing, right?
Yeah. And with that, I think Cassie and Drew kind of join up with Akina and Swift. And there's a panel of the four of them sort of like transforming, I guess. Like they're already dressed, you know, as the Young Vindicators. But I think there's a moment of them squaring their shoulders, you know, like Swift's kind of like sly smile at Akina kind of like disappears and they become serious. And then what does Drew look like when he goes from being like Drew with doubts to Shrike, good soldier?
He's been kind of staring at his boots. And yeah, finally he tucks the Farsec badge into his belt, pulls on like his mask, kind of like armored visor thing to cover his eyes, and just kind of like squares his jaw, grits his teeth.
Awesome. So I think when we turn the page, we get a little bit of, we got some like, it's almost like, you know, one of those like books that you flip through and like it makes an image as you flick the pages together, it makes a moving image. Mm-hmm. We get like some really thin panels all next to each other of just like slices of the action of Drew and the Young Vindicators taking Eden in. So basically they're kind of like, yeah, slices from the last issue all lined up together. And then the next kind of panel that we can actually see is quite large, and it is Drew standing behind like a two-way mirror kind of thing, looking into an interrogation room where Eden is sitting. So I might get first Eden to describe, like, what's your body language? How are you interacting with this room that you're in?
Yeah, so I'm just picturing this as like kind of your generic like two-way mirror, table, chairs, not much else.
Yep.
Sort of room. They are just barely bringing her in, so she probably is like just fairly normally handcuffed, hands in front of her. She does not look great right now. That is by choice. So her whole thing has kind of been pretending that she is a civilian and completely innocent and has no idea why the Young Vindicators attacked her at the mall. and she has not dropped that act since showing up at Farsec. So she, you know, had like cut herself, had smeared some blood on Akina, I remember for sure, but also like, I'm sure she's got blood on her face. She's got like been crying, mascara running down her face. She's dressed pretty simply. Like she ditched her gear and stuff. So she's like, just kind of wearing like a black athletic crop top and like some leggings and like sneakers. And yeah, like I'm sure her hair is kind of all over the place and just her face is kind of like covered in blood and mascara. So.
She's putting on a show.
She is. She, I think, is like crying. She's kind of not doing like really theatric hysterics anymore, but she is like still trying to keep up this like, I'm a person who's been wrongfully detained by Farsec, which includes some crying. And I think she told herself that she's like, this is all part of the act. Then it kind of felt good to cry. So she's also just actually crying.
Yeah. Cool. So Drew, as you're like standing on the other side of the mirror, like, how do you feel about yourself and your choices?
Wow. not super great. Who else is there?
Who else do you want to be there?
I don't know. I was just wondering if anyone else was there or if I was just...
Let's say that Cassie is there. So Cassie, you know, helped you get up and go do the mission, and now she's checking in on you now that it's done.
She did tell you you'd feel better now, I think, is actually what she said to you. So
Yeah, she's here to see if you feel better. But in a Cassie way, which is just she's just standing behind you, watching you.
You know, I don't really feel better.
I mean, you believe all that? It's like nods at Eden's like tear-stoked face.
Oh, that? Absolutely not.
What's...
I'm pretty sure.
What's the problem then?
You don't think Langley laying into Akina like that wasn't out of line? Using her parents and putting her in that position?
I don't think it really matters what I think. Sounds like you think it was.
I don't know. I knew Farsec was, you know, they weren't perfect, but at least they were trying to do good. But now, I don't know.
Cassie sort of steps up to you with like a really serious expression on her face. And she says, they are trying to do good. We are trying to do good. You're so focused on this one person that you're ignoring all the good things we've done. All the villains we've stopped. And you're ignoring all the danger that she has put other people in.
Is she shifting his labels again?
She might be.
She might be.
She might be moving your soldier up.
Ooh.
And she might be like moving your superior down again. Cause she's like, dude, you think you know better than the orders we've been giving? Yes. Superior down, soldier up.
Drew's doesn't agree with that.
Well, well, well. Look who's rejecting someone's influence.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so that's just a flat roll, right?
Yeah. I believe so. Unless you have insecure.
Yeah.
Okay, 4 plus 6. Let's go, Drew.
Wow, that's a 10 plus. So you get to choose 2. You get to clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong, shift 1 label up and 1 label down of your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
Oh, I get 2 of those. Oh, this is so exciting. So what did Cassie just say? She just said, like...
She said that you were too focused on Eden's feelings and you were ignoring A, all the good things that you and Farsec have done, and B, all the danger Eden has put other people in. Basically, like, stop thinking about only your girlfriend, dude. The greater good is more important. That's what Swift would have said if Swift was here.
Yeah, no, Drew's just like, no, you're wrong. Sometimes we're too focused on the greater good and we lose track of how that's affecting the people right in front of us. You know, I joined this organization because I was looking for a place to belong, people I could connect with. Never thought it would be the thing tearing me apart from him. And he's just going to walk out of the room.
What is he choosing from the list?
And he is marking potential, because that's something Drew doesn't normally get to do. Absolutely. And then, I'm going to shift my own labels. I don't know how yet, but I'm going to.
Nice.
Cool.
So as you're kind of like walking away from Cassie, there's like a big buzzer noise. And then, you know, like that sort of like hissing of like airlock opening almost. And somebody's going into Eden's interrogation room, basically.
In my head, Eden, like, things like tricking lie detectors and behavioral scientists is within the realm of just like things she knows how to do. Mm-hmm. Like I think her parents probably like taught her that when she was like, 7.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
And I mean, that's kind of her whole plan, is just to like bluff her way through whatever, you know, this whole process looks like, just absolutely committed to the bit that she is a civilian, that, you know, Akina gave them bad intel and they just took some random girl off the street and brought her in. And to her, it seems tedious.
I feel like maybe there's a couple of panels of like, yeah, this like behavioral scientist coming in and like setting up a lie detector, and then like being really confused with the results. And then, you know, like they leave, and then like, you know, an hour later, somebody else comes in with a different lie detector and they hook her up to it. And again, like it doesn't make any sense because she's again, just being like, I'm a civilian, and all of the answers are like not lies.
I think because she is a dramatic queen. At one point she like starts crying so hard that she throws up, and like she is committed to the bit.
The current like lie detector like technician just kind of goes like, oh shit. Like immediately like stands up and is like, I cannot be here for this. I will get someone. And then just like rushes out of the room, like sends in like a janitor to like clean it up and like give you a bucket. Some other technician comes in to like unhook you from the machine and take it away. And then maybe that technician who was like grossed out by you throwing up, like tentatively comes back into the room with like a cup of water and puts it on the table for you.
She is hugging her bucket, looking very, very sad and pathetic.
Yeah. I just can't deal with like vomiting. So if you're gonna, like, can you just tell me first so I could get out of here? Because somebody else will need to be.
You see her eyes just like welling up with more tears. I'll try.
Oh God. Okay. I'm gonna get the first aid officer in here. That sounds like a better plan than me. Yeah, okay. They rush out. Somebody comes in with a first aid kit and just like sits down across from you looking bored.
Is her hand still like bleeding?
I think they would have like maybe cleaned it up when you came in. I don't think they would leave you just like bleeding on the table. So maybe this is the same person.
Not the CIA.
Yeah. This is probably the same person who bandaged up your hand.
Yeah.
You can always unbandage it and make it bleed again if you want to make them feel really bad.
She's just a civilian.
That's true. She's just a civilian. Baby. So after a while of like this first aid officer kind of just like boredly like looking at you, they're just like, I think you're probably okay now. It seems like you're okay now.
She almost identical to the previous panel. You see her eyes well up with even more tears and she's still clutching her book and she goes, okay.
All right. I'm going to go, just going to go tell Langley that he can talk to you now. You sit tight. The first aid officer like leaves. Eden is left once again, just alone in this room. She's doing a wonderful, wonderful job. After maybe like 10, 15 minutes and like nobody's come back in, I'm assuming that Eden has already documented everything in the room. So she knows that there's like a security camera with a blinking light. She sees that like go off. And then like the lights in the room like flicker a bit. I feel like the Farsec building is so highly powered that it has like a pretty, like it has like a base like humming just because there's like so much shit going on there. I think the first thing that Eden would notice is like the humming stops and then the lights go out. And then you hear like the same big hissing airlock noise as whenever anybody enters or exits the room. You hear that, you hear the door open.
Yeah, if there's no one around, she might at least like kind of get up from the table.
Yeah, so all the lights go off. One comes back on in the hallway that you can now see because the airlock door containing you is open. And as you sort of like, you know, creep over, doesn't appear to be anybody around. You can sort of hear like in the distance people kind of shouting and moving about, like trying to figure out what's wrong, like Langley somewhere way down the hall is like, get me Anderson or something, like get the lights back on. So they're all kind of like preoccupied down there. Poor Anderson. And yeah, so as you get to, you know, this light that's on out in the hall, it goes off and another one a little bit further away turns on.
She knows this is maybe not the best thing for her ploy again if like someone realizes she's left her little holding room, but she is too curious not to follow it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so she like follows, this sort of like breadcrumb trail of lights kind of leads her to a stairwell and then down, I believe, into maybe like a couple of floors below where Moonflower was being, or where Eden was being held, because they would have had her in like maximum security, but then this is like maximum security.
It's Sigma security.
Yeah. So when you get down to the like bottom of the staircase, there's not really like a door like they were up a couple of levels above you. Instead, it's like one of those big like circular like bank vault kind of ones, but like super high tech. And it's got like a bunch of different keypads and stuff in it. And you're standing there for maybe 2 or 3 seconds before it like makes the big airlocky hiss noise and opens.
She's gonna go in.
Dun dun dun. Yeah. So when she like steps through the big bank vault door, I am going to pass off my GM hat to Michael and let Michael describe what's going on in here.
Cool. I will put on my GM hat now.
No, you put on my GM hat.
I will need it back. Thank you for lending me your GM hat, Kaylee. I'll give it back when I'm done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Don't stretch it out.
Yep. I'll do my best.
I think she just said you have a big head.
I mean, that's true. So
it's because of all the brains.
Or something. Right? So this giant vault door rolls open. And inside is a giant circular room that is completely empty except for one of those kind of like chair table things they have in like psych wards in movies and stuff, where they're like the patients like strapped down on their side to it. And in the center is Clockwork, like in a straitjacket, strapped down to this like table thing, staring at you.
Well, she did want to talk to him. This was not the circumstances she anticipated doing so under, but she's here now. So I think she's just going to kind of take a couple steps forward.
I see you got my message.
Sure. I don't think we have very long, so if you got something to say, you should probably spit it out.
We do not have long at all. Far less time than you realize. It is too late for me to stop my dark future from becoming reality. But it is not too late for you. Things are about to be set in motion that cannot be undone. You must understand, there are powerful forces at work in the shadows who are seeking to bring a war to New Olympus, and all they need is a spark. Whatever you find at the black site in the woods, you must keep it secret, or else the entire city will tear itself to the ground before you can save it.
So Eden's actually just pleased that he's giving her concrete, tangible, like actionable items, as opposed to like just cryptic, like you're going to destroy the world. Like, what's she going to do with that? You know? And she's going to kind of like cock her head to the side and say, is that it?
If I reveal too much, I change the equation.
Okay.
The more I reveal about the future, the further we stray. and the less can I can assist.
I know they've, like, interacted before, but, it, I mean, they didn't really have, like, a conversation, per se. And I think she is, like, intrigued. I mean, she certainly has thoughts about clockwork, but, so I think she's just going to kind of, like, squint at him a little and say, so let me get this straight. Where you come from in the future, you're some kind of historian?
You could say.
So she's...
You trying to maybe pierce his mask?
I wasn't.
We don't have to.
We could.
It sounds like you might be.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any plans for this role, but we can make it.
So that's a plus mundane.
This is going to be, let's see. No. Shockingly, Eden has zero conditions marked, which feels a little funny for where she's at, but it is true. As
she's, for the, she's acting all the conditions.
Yeah. Okay, so this is like just a completely flat roll. Ooh, and it is still a 3.
Oh, never mind. Not piercing his mask at all.
No, the mask is not pierced, but she is going to... So he just said, yeah, you could say I'm a historian.
Mm-hmm.
So I think her response to that is, well, I think you might be a shit historian. And... I think that you fall into the classic trap of oversimplifying the history and thinking that it's like this set of dominoes that, you know, if you just move one domino, the rest won't fall down. And I think any real historian could tell you that it's not really like that. It's more like a tapestry. And if you're just snipping threads here and there, I am not surprised that you haven't accomplished what you set out to, but yeah, maybe it was a good thing you talked to me because I'm a little better at seeing the big picture.
I had forgotten how irksome your arrogance is.
I get that a lot. And like you said, we don't have a lot of time. So unless you're going to further enlighten me, I think I better get back.
We shall see, Moonflower. Time will tell.
She's going to start walking away and then kind of over her shoulder say, I don't really know about Moonflower anymore. And not elaborate on that and just go back to where she was unless something else happens.
So as you step out of the big bank vault door, kind of it like hisses closed. It like does its big rolly thing and closes up. Make your way back up the stairs. The lights come on for you the same way as though you need help figuring out how to get back. Whoever's operating these lights is just like completely underestimating you, but you can fight them about it later. And then you get back to like the hallway where your cell was. As you're sort of like double checking, you know, which if nobody's still coming, there's still lots of like commotion going on down the halls, but nothing kind of close to you. You can still hear Langley yelling at someone. And as you're sort of checking it out, you see one of the cameras in the hallway is still on and like the light is on, which is odd because all the other ones have gone off in this blackout.
Is it just a listening device or is it a camera as well?
What do you think that Dark Fox would have a camera or just a listening device?
I mean, frankly, I'm impressed he got anything into a Farsec maximum security, but...
I feel like he had help.
What? I'm pretty indifferent.
I guess it depends if you want to talk to him or if you want to flip him off.
I mean, always the latter, but
yeah.
No, I just think if it is like a camera, she is going to remember that. While she does look terrible by choice, it was not a choice she made on Fox's behalf.
I kind of think that's funny. I think it should be a camera. Yeah. yeah. So I think the kind of idea for me is that like it, the reason that Farsec hasn't picked it up is because it is like literally the same camera as they have. It's just like not connected to them at all.
How does it's just Eden know it's Dark Fox's though?
That is a question.
It has his little logo laser engraved on it with
yeah,
his
probably.
Super fancy laser engraver that everyone gives him shit about, but actually comes in super handy all the time.
No one ever said Dark Fox wasn't a little crafty in both senses of the word.
Yeah, so maybe like as you're squinting at it, looking a little bit closer, you see very, very subtle engraving on the side with the little Dark Fox symbol.
She's gonna roll her eyes a little bit.
That seems right. Maybe you get a little the camera like pans left and right, like it's shaking its head.
Well, yeah, so Eden is already tired of being interrogated. It's not hard, but it is just tedious, and she kind of feels like she has better things to do. So she's going to, in kind of this like whispery way that doesn't actually make any sense because it's just dramatic, I don't know. She's going to kind of like look directly into the camera and be like, you know, if you want help with your little projects, Eden Holloway, with like emphasis on the hollow, could sure use an alibi. Or you could just wait for me to sort this out. Probably only take a week or two. Depends on how, you know, dedicated Farsec is.
You know that like when a camera like zooms in and you can kind of hear the motor whirring and the like the iris kind of dilates a bit. I think that happens. As if he's like zooming in on your unkempt state.
She is going to kind of like just like motion to her face and be like, this is your fault, by the way.
Cool. And then I think we'll turn the page if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. So yeah, we'll turn the page from Eden being free and sassy at Dark Fox. And Drew, where were you when the blackout happened?
Probably out in a hallway somewhere, trying to mostly just stay out of the way of Langley, who tends to yell at just about anything nearest him when things start going wrong like this.
Mm-hmm. So you were sort of like walking off your like frustration with Cassie and with Farsec.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I think, as you're like, you were like walking it off and the blackout happened and all of a sudden, like, you know, Langley starts yelling at people. There's like all these techs like running around, freaking out. Akina and Swift and Cassie all kind of come in with torches.
Flashlight.
Cassie probably doesn't.
In America.
Oh, sorry, flashlight.
No, that is. I realize that's actually what most of the world calls them, but it just torches evoke something different in
America. Yeah. Cassie probably doesn't need a flashlight, does she?
Cassie is a flashlight.
Yeah, so Cassie is the flashlight. and yeah, Akina and Swift have actual flashlights. Kind of be useful.
I bet with all the lights off, they really wish they had that one flashlight.
Yeah, they're really missing the strobe light. That
I think that's actually what Langley is yelling about, is like, where is the light?
Where is the experimental strobe?
Yeah.
We built it for this purpose.
Yes. Yep. And he's like, Anderson, where the hell is it? Where did you put it? Check the logs. Who took it out? And yeah, so I think Drew has ended up in this sort of like control room kind of a deal. Lots of computers. They're all, you know, dark screens right now. While Cassie flashlights in the center of the room, and Akina and Swift are sort of trying to like more spotlight a couple of the techs. And Cassie kind of like looks pointedly at you, like, because you're not helping.
I say, oh, sorry, and tap the wrist flashlight on my gauntlet on, and point it at her face. Say, is that better?
I feel like she just also points some light at you, but hers is like solar energy, so it's like looking at stuff.
Ow, see? What do you need me for?
I think at that point, Langley like storms into the room. And one of the techs seems to have finally like wired up one of the computers to show a screen, which is very exciting. There's a lot of like, oh my God. But Langley like storms in and he's like, what happened? What, who did this? All the techs are kind of like, busy, tapa, 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 tippa, tapa, tapa.
We don't know, sir. It appears to be some kind of intrusion from the outside.
He like looks at you and glares, looks at your like flashlight, and is like, do something useful with that. Don't point it at me.
Drew shuts it off.
And I think Langley kind of like storms over and looms over the tech who's finally kind of got like a screen of code up, trying to reboot the system. The sort of like scrolling text of code is going really fast. The tech is like sweating. Akina and Swift are both like pointing flashlights at his hands, and Langley is like looming above him. And he's like, I want visuals. I want to see who did this and what happened. I want to see the recordings from... And then he sort of stops, takes a breath, and is like, who's watching Eden Holloway? Who's watching Eden Holloway? And then he like spins around looking at everyone. Akina will probably look up at him, like straight-backed, good soldier kind of posture. Like, she couldn't have done this, sir. She's been in the cell all afternoon.
I'll go check on her.
Cassie will side-eye you. And so will Swift. And so will Akina. You get side-eyes from every single one of your team. And Langley kind of grunts. And he's like, I don't care that she's been locked up all afternoon. I don't care what the lie detector said. Like, she is guilty of this. And then he starts to storm out before Drew can.
I'm going to wait till he's good and gone down the hall before I head out down to Eden's cell.
Oh, that's where he's going to.
Oh, okay. Well,
You got the awkward, like, oh, bye. Oh, wait, we're going the same way? Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'll follow him a good ways away.
I think when you approach, you actually don't see Eden immediately through the window or the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eden is more or less right where they left him, except now she is under the table in the fetal position with her bucket.
Oh, Eden.
She's a very scared civilian, and all of the lights went out, and it was very dark. So she got under the table, obviously.
Shrike, you still have your... Do you have your flashlight on?
I do now.
Yeah, cool. So you got your flashlight on. Langley gets like halfway down the hall and realizes that he doesn't have a flashlight. And is like, hurry up! Point! The like door that's been like, you know, hanging open because it opened in the blackout. He like storms through it. You shine the flashlight around the room and, you know, like obviously Eden's not sitting at the table. And he's like, see, we have to find her. We have to go. And he goes to storm back out. And then maybe like Eden makes a noise or like Drew looks under the table or.
Sir. Points to her leg sticking out.
And then I think the lights will come back on. And yeah, you see Eden under the table, clutching her bucket, exactly the same as before, with her eyes welling up with tears. I'm assuming.
I think maybe. Just to shake things up a little bit. They're now like actually just like squinted shut, like she's trying really hard to like block out, like, this isn't happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just kind of like rocking back and forth.
And I think Langley maybe like grabs a chair and like shoves it out of the way, and then he just points to Eden and he's like, get her up, get her back in the chair. I don't like her where we can't see her. And then
he said all day.
And then he storms out of the room and like the airlock closes behind him, or the big door closes behind him.
Well, that was something.
Eden's going to kind of scoot out from under the table and get back into the chair because she does not want Drew to put her in the chair. And then she's going to put the bucket over her head. She does not want to look at him.
That's fair.
Right. Well, just going to go ahead and assume you had nothing to do with all of that.
I think she kind of waits just long enough that it seems like she's going to give him the silent treatment. And then she will take the bucket off her head. And I think just kind of like we've seen her do a few times now, just like, oh, there's the tears. And are you going to call my dad? She's going to be so mad. And she is not dropping the act. I think she, like, knows that, like, Drew has kind of been on, like, the inside of a lot of her, like, are you watching closely type moves. Like, he's usually the one that she's kind of like, look what I'm about to do. And so this is, like, a very, in her mind at least, a very, like, no, you're on the receiving end of this now. Even if you don't believe it, like, you are not on the inside of this anymore.
Yeah, Drew kind of sighs, realizing this.
If Drew wants to do anything else, he can, or I can make something happen.
I think Drew's pretty good.
Yeah, so I feel like Drew, having been given the you're on the outside of this welling up of eyes moment, is maybe gonna leave because, mm-hmm. you know, this is obviously yeah. she's not gonna talk to him.
Does he think it's weird that she's still there when they come back?
I mean, yeah. But also, not a lot about Eden surprises him. Or like, you know.
Everything does, so it's all the same
exactly,
amount of surprise.
Exactly, exactly. He expected her to use that perfect opportunity to be gone, but then is not at all surprised to be wrong.
All right.
So as Drew goes to open the hissing airlock door, he hears Langley still shouting down the hallway, and he says, like, "That's impossible! What do you mean?" And Akina is like, "It's been authenticated, sir. Like, there are multiple sources who saw Moonflower in Midtown." And Langley, like, punches a wall or something. And then he, like, starts shaking his hand because it really hurt. And he's like, but she's there. And Akina just kind of shrugs and is like, well, she obviously isn't.
Drew's going to kind of turn his head back toward into the cell a little bit. And give Eden like a little kind of like, questioning eyebrow, like, I don't know, maybe not even questioning, maybe it's more just like, nice, or I realize something is up here, but I am okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to acknowledge that.
I mean, obviously, but...
That's true, yeah. Why would she? Langley says something like, you're the one who gave me this intel, and now you're telling me that it's wrong. And Akina is like, well, I didn't want to act on it, is the thing. She's like, you forced us into this, and... Now we have a civilian in there who has been obviously mistreated and has like a great story to tell the press. And that's on you, man. And I think Swift is also in the hallway and she's kind of like jogging up to catch up. And she's like, so what are we doing? And Langley kind of like rolls his eyes and he's like, well, we have to release Eden Holloway. There's proof that Moonflower is still on the loose. So whoever is in there, it's either not Eden Holloway or Eden Holloway is not Moonflower.
That's the first smart thing you've said all day.
You say that out loud?
Maybe.
Are you sure? Sticking with that decision?
I definitely say that.
Swift snorts. Langley glares at you. And Akina doesn't even hear you because she's so pissed at Langley. She's just looking at him. And yeah, I think Langley like strides away from Akina, who looks like she's about to like run after him. But Swift kind of like puts a hand on her shoulder. Langley like pushes you, Drew, out of the way with more force than necessary, probably.
That's fine.
Cool. So he kind of like huffs into the room. Eden, how does he find you?
Oh, the same as she was.
Mm-hmm.
Eden yep. is so committed to the bit.
And he takes a deep breath and, like, squares his shoulders a little bit. And he goes, Very sorry. Miss, you're free to go.
She's going to, very wide-eyed, just kind of like look back at him and then just like look at the handcuffs. And then back at him.
Yeah. We'll get somebody to... I'll get someone with the keys in for that. And he's like, and the young vindicators will take you home wherever you need to go. And he pushes past Drew again and yells down the hallway, Anderson, get the keys up here.
Oh, poor Anderson.
And Anderson comes scurrying up. And he kind of like hands the keys gingerly to Drew because he does not want anything to do with Eden.
Yeah, Drew will take him and go undo the handcuffs.
Distant shouting as Langley calls for Anderson, even though he just sent Anderson up here. So yeah, we turn the page. Who is driving the Young Vindicators? Out of the Young Vindicators, do you think like Cassie would be driving?
Yeah, she's oldest.
So I think you're in like one of those like Farsec kind of like Jeep kind of deals.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like really tinted windows because obviously there was like a lot of press hanging around outside of Farsec after this viral video of them arresting a civilian. And you all have sort of, you know, gotten into this tinted window Jeep to sort of try to lose the reporters and not kind of put Eden more in the spotlight than she has to be. And yeah. What's the mood like in the car?
I'm going to assume awkward.
Silent.
I think as you kind of pull away from Farsec, you just see Eden just kind of like relax out of... She's done with the bit. You just see her kind of relax. She brought the bucket with her. I don't know, souvenir. But she's not like hugging it anymore. She's just kind of holding it. Is it like a metal bucket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, like so she could whack someone in the head with it if she needed to.
Oh, she could whack Drew in the head with it if she needs to, yeah.
It's worth keeping then.
Well, I think it's more just this like, I don't know. It gives her something to hold on to. And it's also just this like adds to the ridiculousness of the situation for the Young Vindicate. Just like, look at me here with my bucket. Yeah, and you see her as you're driving away, just kind of like completely body language shift into this like, I'm not a scared civilian anymore. I'm a just vibing. Just wait until I can get away from you.
I think Cassie is like every now and then looking at you in the rearview mirror. I think it's one of those cars that has like in the back seat, there's like two banks that face each other.
Ooh. Ouch.
So I feel like everyone except Cassie is in the back. Actually, maybe Akina is in the front with Cassie. And so Swift is sitting directly across from Eden. And then wherever Drew wants to be to make it even more awkward.
Oh, where is Drew? That would be the most awkward.
I mean, I feel like the most awkward is directly across from Eden.
Okay, well then let's put Drew directly across from
Eden. That just makes the most sense, yeah.
Swift can be next to you. So I think as you're driving, Akina every now and then turns around and looks like she's about to ask something and then just shakes her head and looks back out the front window.
Did they ask her where she wants to go?
I assume you told them before you got in the car, but you can tell them now if you want.
No, it can be before they got in the car. I'm just wondering, like, where are they going?
They're just driving.
Yeah.
Just vibing.
Yeah, and it's great vibe. So why wouldn't they? Best vibes.
I mean, Eden's feeling not good vibes, but self-congratulatory vibes, maybe at least. Yep. And I think she just lets them sit in the awkward stew for a while. Just lets them kind of wallow in it. And then I think she's maybe going to have them drop her off in, like, Old Town or Midtown. Like, she's not letting them take her back to, like...
Yeah.
anywhere that, like, is personally relevant to her. She's just going to...
Like, dropping her off at a supermarket or something.
Yeah, like. Something, like, pretty arbitrary that she's going to, like, be extra sure she's not being followed and then get back to... She probably wants to go home and shower the blood and mascara off her face or whatever. But, well, actually, I think she maybe is using her slave to kind of clean that up as they drive, since she does have to go be out in public and doesn't want to be noticed once they drop her off.
I mean, if Drew wanted to, he could probably pass you some tissues, but he might not want to. That seems like a no. Well,
do you want a Kleenex or something?
She's gonna take her sleeve and like wipe off more of the mascara. And no, I'm done crying now.
I meant for the. Never mind.
Are you saying something about how I look right now?
Nope.
So she's, I think, just going to kind of nod at that. I think they're probably, like, around the Founders Bridge now, maybe crossing it. And now that, you know, I wouldn't say the ice has been broken exactly, but there is some talking. I think Eden has some things to say. And so I think she kind of like finishes wiping most of the stuff off her face with her sleeves and just kind of like leans back in her seat and says, well, that was interesting. Really cool of you guys. And see, I might have gotten out of your little setup there, but just to be clear, that doesn't make things cool between us. You brought me in with no evidence other than a rumor because none of you have the backbone to tell Langley no. And, you know, the funny thing about being detained is you actually have a lot of time to think. And while I was... there, just kind of waiting, I was thinking about all the ways I could thank you for this little adventure, and ultimately decided that you're not worth it. From what I've seen, the Young Vindicators don't need my help falling apart. And I think she's going to kind of, in the rearview mirror, nod at Miss Justice and say, you have a foot out the door already and probably don't care if you do a little collateral damage with the Young Vindicators. You're just using them as stepping stones to the Vindicators anyway, aren't you? And, oh, honey, I'm just getting started. I think she's going to look at Swift next and say, you probably didn't even think through the consequences of what you were doing, did you? Since you never think through the consequences of your actions and who might get hurt by them. And then she's going to look right at Akina and say, you have more power than any other teen in this city to stand up to Farsex bullshit. And that power is absolutely wasted on you. Your mother is one of the most respected heroes in New Olympus, not because of her abilities, but because she takes care of other people and especially other heroes. It's really a pity that you're not living up to that. And by the way, when this team falls apart under your leadership, good luck recruiting. I'm going to make sure every other teen hero in New Olympus knows exactly what kind of snitch and coward you are. None of them are going to want to work with you after that. You're going to be a pariah among your own peers. And I think then she's going to, well, she doesn't really have to turn to look at Trike. He is right in front of her, but she is going to look right at him. And you? Do you think that being a good little soldier makes you a good hero? That it makes you a good person? You were so desperate for Farsec's approval that you agreed to be their puppet. And you were so desperate for your teammates' approval that you agreed to be their bait. And I very sincerely wanted more for you than that. But hey, I guess if you care so much about Farsec and the Young Vindicators, they can have you. You deserve each other. She's trying to shift his labels here.
Again.
Yes.
I mean, I think she deserves it as a treat.
As a treat.
I just also like that whether or not I intend to shift Shrike's label. It just emotions. Things are happening. And I think that is very like soldier up, savior down. Like you're a soldier, not a hero.
Yes.
Oh man. Yeah. I think Shrike accepts that.
Does he accepts it. Does he like react to it at all or?
I think not right now.
I think Eden's going to at least pause for a beat and just see if anyone's going to say anything. If perhaps anyone is a glutton enough for punishment that they want to invite more of Eden's thoughts.
I think Swift is gonna, she's like sitting next to you. I think as you're sort of surveying the damage, I guess, I think she's gonna turn to face you. And say something like, all well and good to be up on your high horse when you haven't been put in the positions that we have.
Ian's going to, turn and look at Swift. And just, I'm sorry, am I the only one here who remembers that I actually did try to be on this team? And I'm glad, actually, in hindsight, that it didn't work out because Langley would have turned me into a bully just like the rest of you. But I did try to be here, and I don't know why you seem to think that you are the only ones out there trying to do good just because you're the only ones that Farsec has given their blessing to help people. I'm out here same as you every day bleeding for this city. And yeah, I don't know why you think that makes you special.
Maybe because we're working for a better place and a better world. And we actually think about all of the puzzle pieces and how it all fits together. You just seem to just run around and do whatever you want. Don't you see how dangerous that is? I mean, obviously not. So it's probably a good thing that this didn't work out.
Let's see, what was the puzzle piece where I was in Farsec detention and not able to help people? How many burglaries do you think I might have stopped if I'd been, you know, trapped in Farsec longer than I was?
How many stadiums would you have destroyed?
Eden is going to kind of nod and say, yeah, you know, you're right. The Midnighters are the only ones who make mistakes trying to save people. I'm sure you've never done that. I'm sure your dad and your grandpa never did that. Except that they have. And I've read the files. I know. So if you want to tell yourself that you're somehow less dangerous than me, little old me with no powers, if that's what helps you sleep at night and you think that's a good reason to take me out of the game and try to stop me from helping people. Yeah, you can think that.
I think Swift is going to probably try to hide the fact that that hit by rolling her eyes. And that might be when, like, Cassie pulls up at the, you know, the Caravan James that you asked to be dropped at or wherever.
I think maybe they're not even quite there yet. And Eden just kind of, like, as soon as she sees that she's, like, landed one on Swift, she's just going to, she's a girl who likes to have the last word. So I think she is going to, even though they're not quite where she said to drop her off yet, just say, yeah, just you can pull over and let me out here. Eden is going to kind of like look at them all one last time as she, well, I guess she's only got a bucket. She doesn't have to like pick up her stuff to leave. She's going to look at them all one last time and say, okay, well, this has been fun. I'm going to go catch the real casino thief since you all are apparently too busy being Langley's lapdogs to do any real hero work these days. But if I can leave you with one final piece of advice before I go, you really don't want to find out what happens when you back me into a corner a second time. So just let me be on my way and you can go back to cosplaying as heroes or whatever it is you do and just stay out of my way.
I think nobody can look you in the eye.
Yeah, Drew definitely can.
So after Eden leaves, Drew, what's the vibe like in the car?
I think very tense. I think people are starting to realize that we might not all be quite on the same page about all of this as we thought we were. I know I'm not feeling super great about it.
What?
He does have feelings.
Oh, he has so many feelings right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like I feel like just out of the spirit of the game, I need to mark guilty there after this.
Yeah, that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cassie will like start driving again without saying anything. Akina looks like she's thinking really hard about something inspiring to say, but coming up with nothing. And Swift is kind of blustering and still just kind of like, you know, she's kind of like muttering a little bit about like the things that Eden said and like how, you know, what does she know? She doesn't know anything. She hasn't read the files. She's just saying that like.
She hasn't read the files. Eden has read files that the tailor doesn't even know exists.
Eden has files you've never even heard of. Yeah, as the tense young Vindicators drive away, yeah, is there anything going on in Drew's internal monologue at all?
This is your chance to brood, bird boy.
This is your chance to be broody.
Drew's main feeling right now is just like, what the fuck is even happening? Like, this was supposed to be his, like, family, where he belonged. This is like, you know, it wasn't perfect, but nobody's family is. But, like, now it's just, it's not even, I don't know. He's staring at his Farsec badge again and, like, thinking about how hard he worked to get it, to get here, to where he had people that he could rely on and that relied on him. And to have that just sense of belonging somewhere. And now it's just all falling apart and he doesn't even know why he has this thing anymore.
Yeah, I love that. I think maybe we get like a panel that's kind of like a wide shot as the car, the Jeep that they're in, is going back across the bridge. And maybe there's like a big billboard or something that has like the Young Vindicators on it.
Ooh, I love that.
With like a slogan or something. Like, what would their, like, you know, they're like the kind of like the poster children for being heroes in this town. Like, there's got to be something that is like,
like responsibility matters or something.
Yeah, like something really like, on first glance, you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you're like, hang on a minute, wait, what? They drive back across the bridge. We get that billboard. And then we turn the page. And where are we going to leave Eden for this volume? What sort of scene do we find her in?
Oh man, Eden has like so many things she needs to like follow up on.
Which one does she want to do first? Or I guess she could do a couple if you want.
Well, I think in my mind, like, she is going to be like very extra, like make sure she is not being followed. Like, she is feeling a little more paranoid perhaps, in a lot of ways, than she was at the beginning of the volume. And that's saying something, because she is Eden Holloway. But yeah, so I think she kind of spends some time like just making sure she is not being followed, and then does go back to her apartment. We haven't really seen Eden's apartment, have we?
I think we've only ever seen it like right at the end of a volume.
Well, when I think she's, we've like, seen her like in bed, but we didn't really see like the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think maybe we get a panel of her like walking through the door, and her apartment's like, sorry. Her apartment's like fairly small, but like really clean and really like fastidiously clean in the way that Eden is. And also just like surprisingly like soft and cute, like very like light pinks and pastels, and like in this way that she almost looks sort of like out of place in her own room, because even though she's like cleaned up a little, like she's just wearing all black and looks kind of intense. And I think we see her go into the bathroom, and she kind of cleans her face a little bit more and than she had. And we maybe see her phone light up next to her with like a message from Ryan, like wondering what the heck is going on and is she okay and everything. And perhaps also something from Dark Fox, since.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think probably we won't get to find that out until a later episode, exactly what he has to say to her. But
Ryan sent too many messages, so you can't actually read the preview. Like,
yeah, yeah.
101 messages from Ryan, and then like one message
from Dark Fox. And so we kind of, as she's like done cleaning her face and just kind of like looking at herself in the mirror, and like, she did cry a whole lot today. I think her eyes are still kind of red. But yeah, we see her phone going off on the counter next to her. And I think she kind of looks at herself in the mirror for a minute, and then goes into her closet. And we see her take her moonflower outfit that's like hanging nice. And we see her kind of fold it up and put it in the back of the closet.
Yeah, I love that. I love we've got like Eden folding up her identity and putting it away, and then you know, staring at the like representation of his being unsure about like what it means. It's awesome. Yay. Should we do end of session moves?
I think we should. I think Ryan should also get to do an end of session move, since Ryan was here for most of the volume.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, since I'm here, like, we can do that as well. Cool. So at the end of every session, we get to choose one. We might start with Eden. Did you grow closer to the team, grow into your own image of yourself, or grow away from the team?
I feel like one or two, well, in some ways, kind of any of them could make sense, because she definitely, I'm going to throw out there, grew apart from Drew.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
What?
I don't know if you could tell from the way she tried to verbally murder him in the car back there, but.
So she was mad?
Hey, he's catching on.
Sweet, sweet summer child.
I think she did. Right, I don't know where this cough is coming from. Just the emotions are getting to me. She, I think, did in a lot of ways kind of grow into her own image of herself, because like she got captured by like the Young Vindicators, like all of them, fought all of them at once, and kind of still came out on top, and that's pretty badass. And I'm really tempted to take that and bump my superior back up to three. But I think I actually am going to say that she, in a weird roundabout way, grew closer to her team. So earlier in the volume, like, we definitely see her. I know Ryan doesn't necessarily feel this way, but Eden feels like she's really opening up to Ryan. And I think in, like I said, kind of a roundabout way, really, like, what the end of this volume did for her is it did incite a lot of her trust issues and add to her paranoia, but it also, I think, kind of focused things for her in a way that, like, one of the things I think she was thinking about a lot while she was just, like, between interrogations, is that, like, for all their other faults, the Midnighters would not have done this to her. So I think she is also kind of having this moment of, like, realizing who your real friends are. So I think I will say she ultimately grew closer to the team.
Awesome. Yeah, and I guess who in particular?
It's going to have to be Ryan.
Ray. So you give influence to that character and clear a condition or mark potential.
Yeah. Ryan already has influence. Like I said, weirdly enough, have no conditions marked. So I am going to take that potential. Eden actually racks up potential a little slowly because she's just too good at things.
Yeah.
I play just a little too strategically sometimes. So.
Yeah. And I think, so Ryan's obviously already got influence. So we'll shift your labels. I think Ryan will up your superior for you. because like, damn, son. Like,
she did the thing.
Yeah. And then maybe lower your mundane, maybe?
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
my mundane was zero, which is high for Eden, and I still rolled a three on a flat mundane roll, so might as well just drop it down. Wasn't doing me any good anyway.
Drew. Did you grow closer to the team, grow into your own image of yourself, or grow away from the team?
Oh, man. I have no idea. I really want that potential, but I don't really feel like he grew closer to anyone.
Yeah, if you picked that, I would be like, you're really going to have to explain this to me.
Might be a little too much finagling. I think Drew grew away from the team.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to take influence away from Barsack.
Oh,
that tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be back. When you try to hear that move.
Yeah, next time he needs a
yeah, whenever I try and do anything that I'm bad at again, I need to roll plus soldier.
Who knows when we'll need a flashlight.
Your soldier is kind of high right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't see your sheet, but it got raised twice tonight, so.
When I shipped in my own labels, I did lower my soldier, but then it got back bumped back up again, so it's back to a 2.
Yeah, I just didn't see any way Eden wasn't attempting to make him feel like a soldier, so.
No, for sure.
Yeah, sweet. I also think, I don't think you need to explain anymore why that is what you chose, because that makes a lot of sense.
How about Ryan?
Ryan, I think, grew into her own image of herself. Specifically, I'm pretty sure I've done this before, but specifically, like, because of Patrick and just, like, growing into, you know, a person who feels like they're worthy of being Patrick's nibbling. So I think she is going to raise her danger because that is useful for me, and also because he's about to, like, do something dangerous and lower mundane. Because, yeah, they're about to do some hero-y shit.
Normal people don't get incarcerated by secret super scientists in a strange black ops lab in the middle of the woods.
Not generally, no. Awesome.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brennan Conway. This issue was GM'd by Kaylee Newberry, who can be found on Twitter at Kaylee_Newberry. Moonflower is played by Kyra Nelson, who can be found on her Twitter at Kyra M. Nelson. Shrike is played by Michael Dunham, who can be found on his Twitter at GalvanicMan. Wonderworld Comics is produced by Michael Dunham, and it is edited by Michael Dunham and Kaylee Newberry. The music is from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. Do you have questions or comments? You can get a hold of us on Twitter at WWComicsPodcast, or send us an email at wwcomicspodcast@gmail.com.